Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to Shogun, the officially unofficial podcast for all of Bald Move Prestige Television. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
We don't have a name for this podcast, but we're going to be talking about Shogun, doing a season one preview today. And it's all going to be released in the Bald Move Prestige feed. So if you found this already, congratulations. If not, I don't know who I'm talking to. Aaron, what are we doing today?
Don't mistake our lack of feed for a lack of enthusiasm. It's more of like this is a miniseries that's not going to get another season, or I've seen weirder things happen. But yeah, sure. We thought, yeah, this is a one series and done kind of thing. Let's just throw it in prestige. But yeah, we're here to talk about Shogun, which I've been interested in for about a year now. What do you know? Let's start this. What do you know about Shogun?
Absolutely nothing.
That's I know not a few true. Things.
I know it's based on a book by James Clavell or somebody. Maybe Cromwell. I'm not sure. But it's based on a book. I know there was a series in the 80s that was based on that novel as well. Mm-hmm. But honestly, not a lot.
Yeah, you're right. It's a 1975 novel, 1980 miniseries with Richard Chamberlain. It's interesting because it's my dad's. He's always mentioned that this is his favorite novel, Shogun.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting because my dad is in the Navy, and he served for a couple of years in Okinawa before he came home. And apparently, like a year ago, I guess, after he got home from Okinawa, and my dad, I guess, found obviously a. He's a hayseed farmer's son from rural southern Indiana, and at 18, he shipped off to the Navy, and he found himself in Okinawa. He found the whole place fascinating, as you would, and then he comes home a year later, and the Shogun hits, and I guess he just found that fascinating. And I found in my research that I guess like as of some I can't remember what it was like right before the early 2000s or in the late 90s, some paper found that the like 75% of the average American's knowledge about Japan could be traced to this novel.
Yep. Okay.
So it's known for being kind of like this deep dive into the Japanese culture and the feudal Japanese period and kind of this fish out of water experience. And so I've always been interested in reading the novel. I didn't get a chance to, but now another miniseries is out and it's on, you know, FX Hulu, and it looks like $1 million. I guess that's one of the things that really attracted me to it when I started seeing the pre-production stuff and production, especially the trailers. Like, this looks incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That's the other thing that I do know about this is what I've seen in the trailers. And that has gotten me kind of excited, I gotta say.
The other thing that's gotten me excited is the consistent comparison to this is kind of like feudal Japan Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Not in the sense of magic and dragons, but in the sense of like that intense political intrigue, very strong character development, portrayals, you know, the politics and the backstabbing and the plotting and planning, the scheming. That is always fascinating, a medieval setting, you know, like Game of Thrones. It's you don't have listening devices and cell phones fucking things up. It's, you know, you're sending people ravens and stuff. Something about a medieval culture is a nice backdrop to that kind of, like, they call it court intrigue, right? Even now when it happens in White Houses and parliaments, and it's called court intrigue because that's where it's most intriguing, when it's in an actual court. Well, here we have now like a slightly different version, parallel version of that, because it's in a feudal culture that, you know, I don't think as Westerners, we don't know as much about. So there's inherent fascination there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one thing that the series needs to do kind of right off the bat is start establishing some of the guiding principles for the characters. If we don't understand the culture, it's going to be really hard to understand the machinations. I'm hopeful that they'll kind of do what Game of Thrones did there, you know, tell us who these people are and what they care about, because that motivates them.
It's also interestingly based on like a real series, like some real characters. Like it's based on an actual Englishman that was shipwrecked in the 16th century. The feudal lord that we'll be following as the secondary main character is based on a real life figure that was important in the unification of Japan. So like the fact that this is kind of and I've heard that like it, I guess the novel at least stood up to pretty rigorous scholarship in terms of like, yeah, definitely all liberties right. were taken to make a story more interesting. Like this person didn't have a mistress. They have a mistress here, or this actually happened a decade or two before or after this. And but like the actual, you know, most of the scholarship, I guess, is pretty solid. And I've also heard that they have maybe taken some of the things that are a little cringy from a 1975 novel and increased the accuracies or the sensitivities of that. Or, and usually it's not like there was a bunch of inaccuracies or like blatant racism, especially if I guess probably 75 standards, but the depiction of the, like the Japanese as being like an other, like there's been where the perspective shifts 180 degrees sometimes, so you can see the Japanese regarding the Englishman and his customs and ways and philosophies as strange and bizarre and sometimes cruel and alien. It's not just the white man looking and being like, oh my God, they're sure don't seem like they respect life in the same way that I do, or they sure seem they have different cleanliness standards than me. They actually bathe every day and smell good. They've did a little bit more of a 360 degree evaluation of the topic, which is supposed to be make it update a little bit for, you know, the 2024 audiences.
Yeah, I think I'm going to appreciate how they did that, because I am, from what I understand, the white character in this, John Blackthorne, is kind of the main character in the novel. It's mostly from his perspective, but this looks like it's going to be way more from the Japanese perspective, and he's going to be there to kind of guide them through the machinations of like the Catholics, the Christians coming over.
Yeah.
Which I think is super interesting, both as, you know, a way to sort of help them navigate those waters, but also for an audience proxy. I think it makes a lot of sense because he's, you know, just shipwrecked on the shore there.
Right. I want to talk about the characters too, because a lot of the early reviews were specifically praising the three lead performances. First up with Hiroyuki Sanada. I've seen him recently in Bullet Train, the fourth John Wick, the Mortal Kombat reboot, to go back a little bit further, 47 Ronin. And he's playing his character Toshi Toranaga, which is a fictionalized version of this Tokugawa Ieyasu, who is, as I said, like an important figure in like Japanese unification in their feudal history. This guy has been really solid in everything I've seen him in. I thought he was particularly fine in, believe it or not, Mortal Kombat. As a vengeful ninja ghost, again, believe it or not. He really had a I don't know, there's a lot of like natural gravitas and weight that he puts into his characters, and I can really see him as this like this powerful, very smart, very politically aware feudal lord, kind of like trying to make his moves. And here's this interesting piece of a puzzle that I don't know how fits in this guy who's shipwrecked on my shores, and maybe I can get some information about some of the other things that are happening in my country. I think I can just see it, you know. I'm very excited to see that.
Yeah, he's a very good actor.
Someone that I'm not as familiar with is Cosmo Jarvis.
Yeah.
We have seen him. He was in Raised by Wolves. He was one of the atheist fighters against the militant theocrats. And he designed Mother. He's the guy that created the Mother construct.
All right.
But he didn't leave a big impression on me because I had to like look. I was like, who the hell was he? And he's also in the Netflix version of Jane Austen's Persuasion. He plays opposite Dakota Fanning. I didn't see that that was like super highly regarded. So he's kind of a big question mark for me. But a lot of the early reviews says that, you know, he is taking this character who could be this like kind of thankless, you know, hokey, tropey character and really put some dimensionality and soul into him. So I'm looking forward to that. And again, he plays a real life sailor called William Adams, who was a survivor of this Dutch East Indian expedition. And I guess, yeah, the tale, it's kind of like he, it's I've heard it's like he's not a white savior so much as like a white witness, a white perspective, a white fish out of water, stranger in a strange land type of character. So
yeah, Western audience proxy, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and kind of I think it might help a little bit that he's a little bit of a question mark, you know, because he's supposed to be an audience proxy. The less, you know, Gary Oldman shipwrecks on the, you kind of know what you're going to get, but guy, who knows? We'll have to speak for himself. And then finally, someone I'm a little bit more familiar with, Anna Sawai. She was Elle in Fast and Furious 9. She was the one who was like palling around with Han, and she, her blood was like some kind of biochemical the key to some super hacking weapon in Fast 9. I honestly don't watch these movies for the plot, you know. But I do remember her being Naomi in the fantastic first season of Apple TV's Pachinko. And she's also getting a lot of buzz for her portrayal of this character Kate in the new Monarch Godzilla kind of series on Apple TV Plus. She's really tearing up Apple TV Plus, and in this she plays a highborn lady that's highly educated, fiercely loyal, and yet stuck in a loveless marriage out of a sense of duty. And the other interesting of that is that she's also a devout Catholic, which kind of shows like she's going to be standing on kind of like these fault lines throughout the Japanese culture of the 16th century. So I'm curious to see how all these people embody these roles. And also, this is like Game of Thrones. If you look at the main cast, it's like 20, 30 people deep. And that's, then you go to recurring characters, it's like 50 deep, you know, it's
right.
It's going to have a huge cast. And I'm also going into this with the same kind of sense that I had going into Game of Thrones or like The Expanse, where it's like, it's going to be an episode or two or maybe three before you kind of understand the characters, who they are, what side they're on, what families and clans they're representing, who's enemies with who. All that kind of stuff. Like you just kind of, you kind of got to let it. And fortunately they're giving us what, two episodes to start with.
Yep.
So that we can get the, so Shogun has its best, best chance to get its hook set into us, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be right back with more Bald Move after this brief pause.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Commission podcasts are an awesome feature here at Bald Move that allows you, the individual listener, to decide what we talk about for a single podcast.
The community loves it because it often leads to fun, fan-favorite films and TV shows that we've overlooked getting the coverage they deserve.
And we love it because we're constantly exposed to great stuff that's not even on our radar.
The way it works is simple. You go to support.baldmove.com and you click on commissions. Then you pay the flat rate for the commission and tell us what two-ish hours of content you'd like us to make podcasts on.
Then we'll contact you for details, advanced feedback, and any dedications you'd like to make.
Then we watch the thing, discuss the thing, turn it into a podcast, and pump it right into your ears.
We get consistently great feedback on how much our commissioners love their podcast, and they make great gifts for the dedicated Bald Move fan in your life.
And who knows, that dedicated fan could even be you. Treat yourself. Check out support.baldmove.com for more info.
And now, back with more Bald Move.
The Game of Thrones is pretty evident in the trailer too. It uses a few words as like title cards: deception, desire, destiny. All of those things could be said equally about Game of Thrones. And I mean, right off the bat, it's showing you people who are telling you to trust their story and no one else's. You know, I alone will tell you the truth. I'd be wary of anybody who says that. But yeah, that's the part that I'm most looking forward to, because I have a moderate level of interest, I guess, in Japanese culture. I feel like I've gotten too many tropes shoved down my throat as an American viewer of that stuff in the past. So I hope this doesn't lean too far into those, although it has to, because some of those are just true to Japanese culture. Like, you know, the samurai code and all that stuff. I'm really curious to see, I guess, like, what the intrigue is going to involve. Because the setup for it is really good. Actually, FX released a video over on YouTube called, like, the World of Shogun. It's like a history and kind of a setup video. And that tells you kind of, you know, we were in this period of emperors, and then that kind of fell to shoguns, and now you've got the shogunate who has fallen, and some, like, a new guy, Taiko, has risen in his place, and then he died, and now everything's kind of up in the air, and they form this council of, like, five of the regional leaders, I guess, and they have come together to try and rule Japan, but they're all at odds. They all have competing interests. They all want, you know, their destiny and their desires fulfilled, right?
Yeah, it's so, very good echoes setup of the War of the Five Kings in Game of Thrones, which, you know, that was also based on history. Sometimes the best bones for a story is the crazy shit that happens in real life. Game of Thrones, a lot of the plot lines based on kind of like the War of the Roses, in the British Isles, and this is, yeah, I guess, broadly speaking, historic events. I also want to touch on that, because of that, usually when Jim and I cover something like this, it's based on a series of novels or a miniseries, or in this case both, one of us has been familiar with the material, and that person we use to kind of as a bullshit detector when people are sending in their theories about what's going to happen. You know, you can kind of tell when they're a little too on the nose or a little bit informed with right. Since neither of us do that, and since this is based on a novel, a very popular best-selling novel, very highly acclaimed 1980s miniseries, and since our core demographic is old enough, the elder Gen Xers probably were teenagers watching this thing and maybe going on reading a novel, we're probably not going to do a lot of speculating on what's going on next. Like, Jim and I probably will, because, you know, that's what we do, but we're probably not going to be talking about that in feedback so much, because I just can't tell who's going to be bopping up here and be like, oh, I wonder if the Shogun's going to turn out to be, and because they've read the history books, the fictional books, and or the miniseries. So we're not going to be doing that. We're going to be looking more for, like, people's opinions, analysis of their character motivations. I also love, like, if people have any expertise or have read the novels, to point out the maybe differences that are occurring, and the historicity or the authenticity of how things are being depicted. I think that would be really super interesting, because it's something I tend to look and research and be interested in these kind of, what do you call these, period pieces? Yeah, period pieces.
And real life type. Don't go looking for any of these character names, because they're gonna be out there, and there are gonna be facts about them.
Yes, there are already well written and developed, like, show specific, or I guess book specific, in this Wikipedia's, which completely spoil the shit out of you in three paragraphs. So yeah, you just kind of can't do it, man. It's just like, this is like fire and blood rules. If you're going on a first timer like me, and just take it with what your own ears and eyes can tell you, and me and Jim will filter out all the other spoiler bullshit. Send in those feedbacks to shogun@baldmove.com, by the way. We've got a new email. It's going under the Prestige banner, but we got an email to keep the inbox nice and neat. I'm trying to think if there's anything... What else we want to talk about in terms of Shogun? I guess our show... We're planning on releasing the show's going to be dropping on Tuesday nights. We're planning on doing our full podcast on Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like your kind of deadline to get feedback in and your expectation for when the podcast will come out. What else, Jim?
I think that's it.
All right.
Looking forward
to the excited. Show. I'm excited to check this out. Have something to talk with my old man about. His favorite novel and miniseries, Shogun. And I've heard nothing but good things. This has 100% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, and wow. I've seen a couple of critics like Dan Feinberg, Alan Sepinwall's old Iceberg and Firewall podcast buddy, gave it a glowing review. Yeah, nobody's got much bad to say about it. So I'm excited to see where it goes. We'll be back on this here feed in 1 week to talk about the first two episodes of Shogun as a single unit. Shogun at baldmove.com if you got any advanced feedback or any thoughts on that first episode. And we will see you then. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Later.